is a world population, and there is, don't forget, the high holidays coming up really soon. Invite your Jewish friends, invite people that don't know Messiah, invite Christian friends, invite everyone. Embassy Suites in Cool Springs, and then Brentwood Library for our high holiday services. And we're not necessarily going to do this, if I have a good number of people interested, because sometimes we've done the Tashlich ceremony and there's only been a handful of folks, and really kind of, so we may not do it, we may not, may just let people do it individually, but if there's a good inquiry, you can contact me or Fran or Teresa, you know, on the bulletin. If you're interested, we will do it day of Rosh Hashanah. And then our Sukkot decorating, don't forget that on your calendars. Your kids can be even making something, and you can be making something artistic already, getting it prepared. Prayers, blessings on, and that's the, back up again one more time. That's, September 26th, right after our Shabbat services, and after lunch, we'll do that. And the Kiddush is the next night, that's for the first night of Shabbat. And then Ushpizin, can't wait. We're going to show Ushpizin and maybe another Israeli film afterwards, some Marx Brothers film stuff in earlier. The kids like me like that. All the Marx. So that'll be a great night. And thank you. Great. Okay, I think that's it. Let's turn to, I'll tell you what, start in Psalm, turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And I'll give a title for this morning. Who, me? Fear? Who, me? Fear? I want to talk about fear. I don't usually teach topically, but the Lord put this on my heart today. Now, there were three men. Perhaps you heard of this incident. Three men, a Frenchman, an Italian, and a Jew. They were condemned to be executed, and they were very afraid, understandably, extremely afraid. Their captors told them that they had the right to have one final meal before the execution. The Frenchman said, this is not to insult French or Italian, I don't know, but this is just the story. The Frenchman said, give me some good French wine and French bread. I'm sure there's something else he'd ask for. Good French wine and French bread, he said. So they gave it to him, he ate it, they executed him. Next, it was the Italian's turn. Give me a nice plate of pasta, he said. I'm sure he'd ask for more than that, but pasta, good sauce. In South Philly, they call it gravy. They always call it, but it's good tomatoes, good sauce. So they brought it to the Italian man. He ate it. They executed him. Now it was the Jew's turn. He said, I want a big bowl of strawberries. They said, strawberries? They're not even in season, his captor said. So I'll wait, he said. All right, I was just looking for some. But fear is not a word in your vocabulary, because you're a son or daughter of the Most High. Let's say Elyon. Yeah, the Most High, El Elyon, or the Most High God. We're not only, you know, Adonai Tzivaot. Let's say Adonai Tzivaot, the Lord of hosts. He is our God. And there I have up there Elohim Tzivaot. So let's say that. Elohim Tzivaot, the God of the armies in Psalm 80. That's our God. Now, I'm not speaking about a practical, healthy fear which prevents me from doing something stupid. Like jumping off a cliff. That's obviously, or experimenting with drugs, or pornography, or an extramarital affair, or premarital sex, or how about getting on Facebook while you're driving in a car or texting. There was I saw a little advertisement by AT&T, and boy, it was sobering. Anyone see that? And then the head-on collision. I mean, it's a reality. So that kind of fear, obviously, is being alert, cautious, and wise. And actually, I really think that's a subform of what the Bible calls the fear of the Lord. Yare Adonai. Let's say Yare Adonai. fear of the Lord, Yarei Adonai. Psalm 46, verses 2-8. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about fear in a biblical sense as we're going to look at it now. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth change, though the mountains topple into the heart of the seas, that's pretty scary. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at their swelling, Selah, think about it. Think about that. Take a moment. Though, four times mentioned here. Psalm 49, verse 6 says, why should I fear in evil days? All fear is ultimately a fear of death. Woody Allen is famously quoted as saying, I'm not afraid of death. I don't know if I can impersonate. I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. This is the verse I want you to see of the statement I just made. All fear ultimately is a fear of death. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. We read it in our responsive reading earlier. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same humanity, so that through death, hallelujah, he was born to die, he might break the power of the one who had the power of death. That is, who is that? The devil. He had the power of death. And free those who by, here it is, fear of death were in bondage all their lives. I remember, you know, how certain verses you connect with time in your life. I remember speaking I was chaplain of a ship called La Gracia, a ship we took, had 36 people on it, took food and Bibles and all sorts of stuff, clothes to Honduras, to Roatan, an island called Roatan. And I remember one of the meetings we had, and we had a lot of people that didn't know the Lord there, and the Lord gave me a message on this passage, and I'll never forget it. And many people came to the Lord. It was back in the 80s. Amazing time. Fear of death all their life, how it controls everyone. Judges 6:23 says, but Adonai said to Gideon, shalom to you, fear not, you will not die. You will not die. So think about it. Termination, fear of death. Termination, the loss of life, the end of hopes, the end of our dreams sometimes. We fear danger. We fear enemies. We fear the future. Perhaps we fear aging or a calamity that might come. Or regarding our health, we fear regarding our health, or maybe our children's health, our children's well-being, so easy to, or our parents' health and well-being, or job security. We fear our job security and what's going to happen. The Hebrew word yarei, and there it is up there, yarei, let's say yarei, it means to call to constant attention. To call to constant attention. Fear consumes. Fear paralyzes. It ensnares. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but one who trusts in Adonai will be kept safe. Fear leads to flight. 1 Samuel 17:24, upon seeing him, Goliath, that is, all the men of Israel, Saul, King Saul, and all the men of Israel, it says, fled from him in great fear. And we're going to look at that story in a little bit. Such a great story. Daniel 10:7 says, such a great terror fell upon them that they fled and hid themselves. Now listen to this. Fear is often false. Are you with me? Fear is often false. It's unfounded or ill-founded, maybe I should say. Isaiah 51, I'm going to read it. A couple of my verses I bring back often to you because I love these verses. Isaiah 51, verse 13b, he says, the B part, in other words, the second part of it, are you in constant dread all day because of the fury of the oppressor as he makes ready to destroy? And then God says, but where is the fury of the oppressor? What you're fearing doesn't really exist. In the context, he says, I'm the one who, back in verse 12, I'm the one who comforts you. Who are you that you should fear man who dies, or the son of man who is given up like grass? But you forgot Adonai, your maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. And are you in constant dread all day because of the fury of the oppressor as he makes ready to destroy? But where is the fury of the oppressor? So fear, listen, says Psalm 53, verse 6 or 5, depending on your translation, they are in great dread where there is nothing to fear. You know, I like that just translation. They were in great fear where no fear was. Oftentimes, that's the reality. You're fearing something. It isn't even going to happen. It doesn't even exist, but you're paralyzed. You're caught by it. Fear is often due to forgetting God, the verse we just read. You forgot Adonai, your maker, who stretched out the heavens. Look what he did. And he laid the foundation. If he can do that, is there anything else that's too hard for him, too difficult? God says, I made the heavens and the earth. Is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah, I think it's 32:17 or 27. He says it a few times. Is there anything too hard for me? But we forget God. We are not looking at him, we're not thinking, and we're controlled by the fear. The only fear for the believer is Yare Adonai, the fear of God. The fear of God. And that is to give him our constant attention. Look at Isaiah 8, please. Isaiah 8, turn back there. You really need to see these verses. Isaiah chapter 8. Remember to call to constant attention. That's the meaning. And so the fear of God, giving him our constant. You know, it said that 365 times, I haven't counted them, that in the Bible, you've ever heard that? It's 365 times in the Bible, one for every day of the year, it says what? Fear not, fear not. I've read it in enough sources. I hope it's true. Either way, maybe it's more, maybe it's less. God says for every day there's a fear not. and here in Isaiah 8, verse 11, for thus Adonai spoke to me with a strong hand, warning me that I should not walk in the way of these people. Of the way of everyone else, the world, what everyone else is saying, what this is saying, do not say it's a conspiracy about everything. Do not say it's a conspiracy about everything that these people call a conspiracy. You must not fear or tremble at what they fear. Adonai Tzevaot, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies, him you will sanctify, and let him be your fear, trembling at him. And then it says he'll be a sanctuary and goes on. Genesis 15:1, fear not. After these things, the Lord of Adonai came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Avram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Here's another one. There's so many, but I'm going to just mention a few. Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous hand. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus says Adonai, the one who created you, O Jacob, the one who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You're mine. Don't fear, you're mine. I'm with you. I'll take care of you. Don't fear, Mark 10:31. Yeshua said, don't fear, you're worth more than many sparrows. You're worth more than all the birds that I care for. Luke 12:32, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father chose to give you the kingdom. Many times the scripture says, don't fear. The word in Greek for fear, and there's others in Hebrew and Greek, but I'm giving you the two major ones. Greek is phobos. Let's say phobos. Phobos. Okay, why did you say phobia? No, phobia. Okay, let's move that. Let's move that up. There we go. All right, let's go back there. There we go. Let's stay there. Okay, one of my favorite movies. Really good movie. This is a movie I'm serious. I would show to a congregation. I don't think there's anything there. It's just an amazing movie. Book of Eli. How many have seen Book of Eli? Okay. Denzel Washington, who is a believer, from what I understand, pretty sure, and knows the Lord, and very powerful. I won't give it, can't give it away, because this is a movie that comes, the whole thing comes to fruition at the end. You understand what it's all about. There's some really incredible, but let me just say, the Word of God is central, Bible central in it. And but the word phobos in Greek means, and it's used in Hebrews 2:15, means panic, flight, or terror. Panic, flight, or terror. Now, you, of course, an English word that we have coming from that is the word phobia. Yeah, phobia. Phobias. All right. What is phobia? A phobia is an irrational and excessive fear of an object or situation. In most cases, the phobia involves an unrealistic sense of endangerment or fear of harm. This is my putting a few definitions together. It causes emotional and physical distress, and it's therefore considered an anxiety disorder. Now, are you ready? Want to hear a few phobias? Get my water here. Fear of not drinking water? No. All right. Ready? All right. How about the fear? What is the fear of being confined called? Claustrophobia. Excellent. Claustrophobia. How about the fear of heights? It's a little. Okay. What is someone who swings from the trapeze? Acrophobia. Very good. An acrobat. Okay. I guess that's not an acrobat. All right. Acrophobia. Fear of heights. All right. What is agoraphobia? Right. Fear of open places, open spaces, or crowds. How about I don't know if I'm pronouncing it. Aerophobia. A-E-R. Aerophobia. Yes. Fear of flying. Some people just can't fly. So you drive to the Messiah Conference. You don't have to fly. You can drive. It's next summer. All right. How about misophobia? I don't remember. Misophobia or misophobia? M-Y. You know what? That's a big one. Very common. Fear of germs. Misophobia, misophobia. Fear of germs. Yeah. Did you wash your hands before you shook my hand? No. How about cynophobia, C-Y-N, cynophobia. A lot of people have that, believe it or not. Fear of dogs. Fear of dogs, cynophobia. Or ophidiophobia. Does anyone know? Yeah. O-P-H-O-P-H-I-D. Ophiphobia. Ophidophobia. Ophidiophobia. I can't read my own writing here. Can't read it. Ophidiophobia. It's the fear of... No. Something. No, it's living, something living. Snakes, yes. Fear of snakes. Do you have that? I do. Definitely do. Definitely don't fear. You know, some people can handle them. All right, how about arachnophobia? Oh, so a lot of you have the fear of arachnophobia. All right, fear of spiders. My wife does have it, right? But not, anyway, okay. How about, are you ready? This one, trypanophobia. Our medical folks should know, I'm probably not pronouncing it right. T-R-Y-P-A-N, trypanophobia. Fear of injections. Fear of injections. All right. What's the fear of riding in a car called? Autophobia? No, it's amaxophobia. All right. How about anthropophobia? Yeah, fear of people. Fear of people. All right, God says, don't fear man, fear me. How about glossophobia? Glossophobia, G-L-O-S-S. Yes, very good. Who said it? Speaking. Yes, Denise, right. Speaking, fear of speaking in public. Fear of speaking in public. You know, God told Jeremiah, don't say I'm but a youth. Don't say you're too young. Don't say you can't do it. I'll be with you. It's, you know, the fear is there. Don't, but I can, I'll be with you, so you don't have to, because if you trust me. All right, we'll get to that. I'll just do a few more of these, because they're kind of fun, aren't they? This is different. All right, how about this one? This is a big one that a lot of people have. Astrophobia. Astrophobia. What? It's the fear of thunder and lightning. How many fear thunder and lightning, get scared? Dogs do, right? We have one dog that does, one dog that doesn't. It's just, you know. All right, I don't. I love fear, thunder and lightning. That's not one I have. But this one I have a problem with, I have to confess. Hemophobia. Fear of blood, yeah, I do. This is atichophobia. I'm not pronouncing it right. Fear of failure. People have a fear of failure sometimes, and so it stops them from trying things that God wants them to try. How about autophobia? Is the fear of being alone. Autophobia. So some people really have our fear of being alone. Autophobia. Or bibliophobia. Fear of books. Fear of books. Technophobia. Fear of technology. Fear of technology. Yeah, some of you have that. Okay. All right, how about catoptrophia. Trophobia is the fear of mirrors. The fear of mirrors. I understand you having a fear of some of you. No, just not. All right. How about chronomenthrophobia? Chronomenthrophobia. Clocks. Fear of clocks. Robert, very good. Okay. There's only a few more here. Someone must have made this one up. Arachibutyrophobia. The fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. All right, he's coming to the United States soon. Papophobia. Fear of the Pope. Peladophobia. Fear of bald people. Or how about paganophobia? Paganophobia, fear of beards. Fear of beards. Dentophobia. Fear of dentists. I bet some of us have that. Somniphobia. Fear of sleep. Yeah, boy, that's a tough one if you can't. You're afraid if you fall asleep, maybe you'll start having that dream again, or you'll feel like you're falling, or who knows. Ephebiphobia. Ephebiphobia. It looks like Ephesians, A-P-H-E, Ephebiphobia. Fear of teenagers. Boy, if you have that, you got to get over that. All right, gamophobia. It's the fear of marriage, according to the... I have a couple lists here. Gamophobia. Some people are afraid to marry, you know, and so they just don't, you know, they have opportunity, but a fear just keeps paralyzed and really keeps them from ever. And it is a huge decision, no question about it. You know, it's a huge decision. Someone said the second most important decision to your receiving the Lord is you're married, you know, becoming one with someone. But some people have that stop them. Podophobia. Fear of feet, hypochondria, yeah, fear of illness, and the last one I'm just going to mention, necrophobia. I think there's another one for this too, fear of death. All right, one phobia lists 542 different ones, so I've given you way too many this morning, but anyway, the Greek word. How many of you know this verse? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound. Let's say it again. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, or self-discipline. The the Tree of Life says. And the word there is actually not phobos, it's delia in Greek, which actually does mean, and translated other ways, cowardice or timidity. He's not given us a spirit of cowardice or timidity, but power, love, and self-discipline. Now, the entrance of fear into the human race we see in Genesis 3. You don't have to turn there, but I'll turn there. Genesis 3, we see it where it enters into the human species back here in verse 8 through 10. He says, and they heard the sound, Adam and Eve, Adam v'Chava, they heard the sound of Adonai Elohim going in, to and fro in the garden in the wind of the day, so the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God in the midst of the tree of garden. And the Lord said, where are you? He said to the man, where are you? And he said, your sound, I heard it in the garden. I was afraid because I'm naked, and so I hid myself. Now, interesting to me, yadre, Adonai, see those two words up there, yadre, and then the other word, ra'ah, the root would be ra'ah, very similar, and in the way they come out in the Hebrew many times, they look the same. And yadre, whereas means fear, ra'ah or ro'ah means to see. And perhaps I think maybe there's a clue here. Fear comes through our senses. Especially, it seems, our senses of sight and sound. What we see, we might call it the ear gate and the eye gate. I've heard that expression. What we see or hear, perhaps also the other senses. Sometimes it could also be smell or touch. But that's where the fear comes in. 1 Samuel 17:24 says, upon seeing him, all the men of Israel fled from him in great fear. 1 Samuel 17:11 says, they heard these words from Goliath, and they were dismayed and very terrified. God told Ezekiel in Ezekiel 2:6, he says, I don't want you to fear their words or their looks. Don't fear their words, what you're hearing, and don't fear their looks, what they look like. Jeremiah 1:8, God told Jeremiah as a young man, don't fear their faces. Don't fear. Don't look at their face. Don't even need to look. Don't fear their faces. Just do what. Give what I've commanded. Now, translations. The spread of fear among the entire creation occurs after the flood. We see it in Genesis 9:2. The fear and the terror of you will be on every wild animal and on every flying thing and crawling thing and the fish, etc. Translations of various Hebrew words might be fear, fearful, afraid, dread, dismayed. Heart fails, terror, terrified, tremble, etc. What is the opposite of fear? What is the opposite of fear? That's exactly right. It's trust in God. Don't miss this. If you get nothing else, understand this today. Let the Holy Spirit help. It's trust in God and His Word. That is the opposite of fear. Psalm 56, verse, I'm going to give you a few verses. Again, it may different translation, but one verse to another. It might be one verse before or after. In the day when I am afraid, 56:4, I think it's 3 and some others. In the day when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Let's say that. In the day when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. In God, I keep praising His word. In God, I keep praising His word. In God, I trust. I will not fear. What can mere flesh do to me? Verse 11, in God I keep praising His word. Three times it mentioned. In Adonai I keep praising His word. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? So that's where we see it. If fear is influenced by the surroundings of sight and sound, so also is trust in God. We must choose, we must elect to see and hear God's word and God's spirit, which will in turn create within us trust in God. Acts 20:32, now I commit you to God and the word of His grace, which is strong to build you up and give you an inheritance among all who have been made holy. Daniel 10:19, I love this verse as well. These are some of my favorite. Then he said, Daniel, God says to Daniel, highly valued man, do not fear. Shalom to you. Be strong now. Chazak, be strong. Even as he spoke to me, thou, Daniel says, as he spoke to me, I was strengthened. And I said, so Daniel says, let my Lord speak, for you've strengthened me. The Word of God infusing strength. You see? What are we taking in? I think I was only able to be in a little of David's class, which he did so much research for, because we had to be here for the practice, to be with the music. And it was so much, to put so much time in it. Thank you, David, giving so much. And I just caught like 15 minutes of it. It was fantastic. But, you know, and I forgot what I was going to connect to that. But but the Word of God strengthens us, you know. The Word of God strengthens. He says, keep speaking to me. Oh, I know. He said, yeah, before I heard you said, like, said we have a choice, like when we come back. You know, yeah, it's easy to turn on the TV or to go to this or that, you know. And the Bible's smaller, you know, just that small Bible, you know. But we have a choice. Listen, what are you letting coming into your ear and eye gate, you know? We have a choice. We must put the Word of God ahead of everything else. Put it first. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Ruach, or the Spirit of Adonai, is, there is freedom. Freedom. And it will also drive out fear. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, drives it out. The reason we don't need to fear is because it's overpowered by the fact that the Lord our God goes with us, and he won't fail us or abandon us. Deuteronomy 31:6, it says he fights for us. Talks about putting the feet on the necks. You know, we're aggressive. We're not in the defense, we're in the offense. Joshua 10:25, for we have more with us than he has with him, the enemy. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is Adonai Eloheinu to help us fight our battles. That's what, and then Hezekiah, that's what he said to the people regarding Sennacherib in 2 Chronicles 32:7. Philippians 1:28, read it earlier. And not being frightened in any way, let's say in any way by your opponents. For them, this is a sign of destruction, but for you, salvation, and that from God. Now, that's if we're following the Lord, if we make the choice to follow the Lord and put him first. So we have Hananiah and Azariah and Mishael, or we call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their other names, in the furnace, Daniel 3:16-17. And remember, they chose the Lord. How about Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel in the lion's den. I'm not going to talk on those stories, but I wanted to turn to 1 Samuel 17. Just take a few minutes to look at the story of David and Goliath before we draw to a close here. But many stories in the Word of God. Daniel in the lion's den, as I said, the three boy Hebrew young men in the furnace that went into the furnace, and they said they trusted the Lord. They put their trust in God rather than feared. And Esther before King Ahasuerus, you know, she went before and she went and said, if I perish, I perish. Paul, so many stories of Paul before Agrippa, or I like the one on the ship in Acts 17:27, and he, you know, he says, you don't need to fear. God is going to, you know, but if you didn't listen to what I said, but that's okay. Now, the ship's going to crash, but God will protect us because he promised me. And look at David before Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. Such an amazing story. We see that this champion, verse 4, stepped out of the camp, Goliath from Gath, and a huge, huge guy, bigger than any NFL football player probably that we've ever seen. And he had a bronze helmet and the head of the breastplate, the scale of the armor. The weight of the bronze breastplate says here in the 5,000 shekels, which, you know how much that was? Can you imagine a breastplate? It says here, if it's right, 125 pounds. How would you go around with a breastplate? This guy was big and strong. And then it says the head of his spear weighed 15 pounds, 15 pounds, just the head of his spear in verse 7. So he stood and he shouts, and here come these words, and he's saying, why didn't you come up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine, and you aren't you Saul, sir? Choose for yourself a man and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, he says, fight me and kill me, then we'll become your slaves. But if I beat him, then you'll be our slaves. And the Philistine added, today I defy the ranks of Israel. I love this. He says, I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man so we may fight together. And Saul and they all heard it in verse 11, and they're afraid. Of course, they're in terror at his words. Words present causing so much fear. Words coming causing fear. David, I love David. Don't you love David? He hears that, and he says later on down below in, let's see, verse 24. I'm jumping down because of time. But he says, upon seeing him, all the men of Israel fled from him in great fear. All the men of Israel were saying, have you seen this man who keeps coming up? Surely he's coming to defy Israel, the man who kills him. And David says in verse 26, he said, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy who? The ranks, yeah, translation, the ranks of, not Israel, the living God. David saw everything through the eyes of God because he was filled with the word of God. He said, it's not against us, it's against God. And he really saw it that way. And that's what we need to see. He says that several times, not Israel, it's God. He says it again in verse 45 later on. He says, it's not God, says David, it's Israel. And he says, let no one's heart fail, he told Saul in verse 32. You don't have to be afraid. Let no one's heart fail because of him. And, of course, they said, you're just a youth, verse 33. You're young. What do you think? He can't beat this warrior. And David says, hey, guess what God did for me when I was out with the sheep and a lion came? A lion would be pretty scary. Oh, I have a picture of that. Randy, see if I go a little further. Look, that's a cool picture. Look at that. That's a cool picture I found. Yeah. That's pretty scary. Imagine a lion. And he says, God, help me take care of that lion. Protect the sheep. I killed the lion. God, help me do that. He said, he'd help me. And a bear, same thing. He said, he helped me. When a lion or bear came, carried the lamb off, I went out after it. I didn't just let it go. I went out after it. I struck it down. Said, if your servant has killed, verse 36, the lion and the bear, so this uncircumcised Philistine will become like one of them, since he has defied the ranks of, not Israel, but the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And so he gives him Saul's armor. Does David wear Saul's armor? You can go back to the David and Goliath. But there we go. Yeah, no, he couldn't. He says, I can't walk in these. I can't. I'm not used to them. And he took off the armor and took in his hand a staff, 5 smooth stones from the valley. And I have one of those stones because I picked it up when our last trip to Israel. It's in the valley. I found it. I'm sorry you didn't get it, but... How many people think they actually have that? They go to that same spot, and the tour guides let them off. Says, fine, see if you can find one of those. I got it. I know it. Took one of the stones, but you know the story. The Philistine looks at David, verse 42, and he disdained him. He was just a ruddy boy, handsome appearance, and he says, "You come? Am I a dog? You come to me with sticks?" And he cursed David by his gods. Now, I think that would have been scary, naturally. He's shouting, cursing him by his gods. I'm sure the enemy tried to use that to intimidate David and think, yeah, oh, who do you think you are, David? This guy is scary. And putting these demonic curses on him. And then David said to the Philistine, I love this verse. It's in a great song that Rachel Wolfs wrote years ago. You're coming to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. I'm coming to you in who? The name of the Lord of hosts. Adonai Tzivaot. Let's say Adonai Tzivaot. God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. There's faith. There's trust in God. You see? That's the opposite of fear. This very day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Right now. He's going to do it today. I will strike you down and take your head off you. Oh, I love it. Then all the earth will know down below, he says, that here's the reason, here's, you see, David's heart. This is the goal, that all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. And so all this assembly will know that Adonai delivers not with sword or spear, for the battle belongs to the Lord, and he will give you into our hands. And he ran toward him quickly, offensively. When he got, he didn't just wait for him to come. He ran quickly, that says in verse 48, and the stone killed him with the stone, took his own sword out, cut his head off. And we see actually later in verse 57, when Saul called for him to come. Can you imagine this? He said, when Saul brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. He's still holding, just like that picture up there. He's holding the head. You think David he was a pretty tough guy. I mean, he was pretty rugged to be able to do that. So, you know, it says in Deuteronomy 28:13 in the parsha today, God has made us the head. He once made to Israel, he says, I will make you the head and not the tail. I want you to be above only. You're above if you follow me, if you keep my word. God has made us the head and the tail. We're not on the defense. We're not victims of fear. We have the Lord with us. We go forward and take what is ours. We go forward and overcome through the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Love not our lives to the death. Whatever it takes, if we have to be arrested for our faith, whatever it is, if we pay for the sharing of the gospel, we are overcomers through the Lord. And I think also, by the way, I'll just throw this in. I was going to talk about our having our own synagogue, but I'll do it another time. So our building. But what about the times to come? What about the times to come? Psalm 91 we read, and I'll close with this, but Psalm 91, we read it earlier, I think, in our parsha. You know, we have the Shemitah year coming to a close, as was shared, David shared this morning, and it's in September here, and will the financial markets be wiped out, or a global currency reset if this happens? I like what Dr. Michael Brown said. I was listening to a little podcast of his yesterday, and he said he doesn't know. He said, I don't know, but I believe God is getting our attention through all this. Either way, wants our attention to wake us up and, you know, bring us closer to him. And so, and I'm sure that's what you heard in the class this morning, those that were there. But Psalm 91 says, you will not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the plague that stalks in darkness. It will not come near you. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 your right hand, but it won't come near you. For I'm reading several verses. For you have made Elyon your dwelling, even Adonai, who is my refuge. No evil will befall you, nor any plague come near your tent. He will give his angels charge over you to guard you. Upon their hands they'll lift you up, lest you destroy. It says, you will tread upon, there's the offensive, upon the lion and the cobra. Trample the young lion. Because he has devoted his love to me, I'll deliver him. And I'll show him my Yeshua. You know, I'll show him Yeshua, my salvation. Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord Adonai is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Amen. Isaiah 12:2. So as someone has said, you know, God, keep us so that we can be a blessing to others, even if what bad things happen. We can be in a place to be able, we want to be in a place where we are helping, being able to bring salvation to others in every way. Father, we thank you and praise you that you have delivered us from fear, Lord. That the only kind of fear we want to have is the fear of you, is putting you first, Lord, your preeminence. Colossians 1, 16 or 18, you are preeminent in all things. You are the only one. As we sang earlier, Lord, none besides you, Lord. You are, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, there's none I desire. Lord, we thank you. You're our salvation. We praise you. If you've never trusted Yeshua, put your trust in him today. Turn yourself to God. Say, God, I want to draw close to you. I want trust in Yeshua. I need your salvation. I humble myself, God. Repent of my sins. I turn from my sins. Lord, ask you to, I can't do it in my own strength. I can't, but I can submit, draw near to you, and you have the power to help me conquer any sin, anything that is destroying me or paralyzing or enslaving me. God can do it right now if you call on him. And if you're a believer and something's enslaving you, let go of it. Ask God to give you the victory by turning everything over to him, drawing near to him. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand. Let's stand.